We have a missionary that just got back from Guatemala.
Guatemala.
And I want Brother Lee to come up here and tell you what all he saw down there and how many people they reached for the Lord. And I know that you'll have a, well, it'll be a blessing to have you up here, brother. All right.
I had the opportunity to go to Guatemala City here with Valley Baptist Church, and we came to the city and with Steve Kern and Good News in Action, and we had an opportunity to go into the highways and the byways of Guatemala and give a testimony of how Jesus Christ has saved us and turned our lives around and given the gospel message. And the first day that we were there, we managed. They wanted to keep us away from the violence and the poverty of the town, and so we're just going to go into these malls and witness to people, but we weren't allowed to pass out any tracts because that would be drawing attention to us, and the security officers would throw us out of the building. And so we were just one on one working in the mall, but no one was very happy with that because it just wasn't complete. And so we decided to go down to the parks and just start witnessing to all of the people in the parks. And so we just went one-on-one. Wherever you see is fair game to witness to. And we just asked them a question. And it says, La gran pregunta, which is the big question. And what is the big question? Where will you spend eternity? And then we ask for the response. And then when the people tell us, depending on what their situation is, then we can lead them to the Lord or tell them how to be saved and encourage them to come and have Bible studies with these people in Guatemala, because they don't have enough money to start any churches or anything, a church or anything like that, so just home Bible studies. But we met, there was 8 of us from Valley Baptist, and we came with also 8 from Mississippi, and we just went out, we just started proclaiming the gospel to people and getting people encouraged to come to the Bible studies and everything else. But Al Wagner had the phone number and the address of the missionaries that are starting this church in Guatemala, and we went out, we started passing them out, and then they started getting phone calls from all over the place, from different parts of the city, of people that were interested in the deal. But then they started getting phone calls from all the drunks and the drug addicts in the parks that wanted money and they wanted help. And so we were told not to pass out any more tracts, but it was a little bit too late to hurry pass out about 2,000 of them. So you know, just pray for the missionaries there. They're starting a church in Guatemala City, and hopefully in coming years it'll be a rich and powerful use of God. Is there any questions anyone would have of anything about the mission trip?
You speak Spanish well?
No, I speak no Spanish, and I rely entirely on interpreters. I don't even try to speak Spanish. There is a difference between Spanish and Mexican. And if you start speaking Spanish, start speaking Mexican to them, they always give you strange looks because it's all proper Spanish in Guatemala and in El Salvador and Honduras. And so I don't even try to speak it. Yes?
Castilian. Brother, now the reason why you went down there, can you tell them why you went down there originally? I mean, it's to reach people, but they're going to build a church.
They're trying to build a church. They're starting a church from scratch. Mm-hmm. And right now they have 3 members in their church. And there was 8 of us from Valley Baptist, and there was 8 of us from Mississippi. And they didn't give us any numbers, but I would guess we had about 500 decisions for Christ. I know there were several people that were just alone had 50 or 60 decisions that they've led people to the Lord. I didn't count. But we're just trying to reach out and tell the world that they're lost and that they're going to hell. You know, basically that's what we're telling them to do. Yeah.
They weren't as receptive as El Salvador.
I thought they were more receptive. Yeah, I thought they were incredible. You talk to people and they will drop whatever they do and they'll talk to you about Christ. You know, and they'll tell you, I mean, you're not a freak, you're not a weirdo or anything else. You just go onto the parks and you get turned down by one, and 5 feet away there's someone else and you can talk to him, and you just go all day long talking to different people. And then at night we'd go out and we'd show films. We'd go into an area about where the church is being built, and we'd set up a projector and we'd show a Jesus film, and then we'd have someone give a gospel presentation at the end of the film, and then we'll ask them to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And that works really, really well at night. And so we go to different parts and different places, and we just you know, we just give glory to God. You know, that's our purpose of going out there. We're just glorifying God in gratitude of what He's done for us. You know, that's my motivation of doing that. Because I'm not trying to earn my salvation or earn a better seat in heaven. I'm just glorifying God and everything that He's done for me in gratitude. You know, it's
Brother Lee, would you give us your little... You told me about how you were saved. Would you give us your experience of faith, please?
Well, for I grew up in a Christian home, and my mom was a Bible study teacher, and she was a member of a Bible study fellowship, but I was never saved. And I went to church, you know, growing up, and I was always... And I went to college, and I attended church, and I knew all the answers of any questions anybody would give me, but I just enjoyed going out and drinking with my buddies, and I was always doing that. And I did that for about 10 years, and then I just felt so lonely and so empty, and I just felt God was calling my name, and I didn't know where to go to church or anything else. And I hear that at Valley Baptist, they had a great church. I mean, I was really, really nervous about coming to Valley because I hate big crowds. but I felt called to go to Valley Baptist Church, but I hate big crowds. And so the first day I walked into the auditorium, this was the old auditorium, I stood there and I looked at all the people, and I turned around, I went into the parking lot, and I went home because I couldn't deal with the crowd. And then I came back again because I felt that pull. I was pulled to hear God's word. And I looked at that crowd again, and I went home again. That was the next week. And both times I was hungover when I came to church. Because from the night before, because I drank every night. I was always drunk because I drank just crazy. I was always just polluting my mind with alcohol. And then the third time I came, I just felt I needed to go. And I saw my sister and her husband at church. And I thought, well, maybe I could sit next to them on the end of an aisle, and if anything happens, well, I can get a clean break from the door. Because I hated the crowds, because I was really, really shy, and I just didn't like the big crowds. And then I sat down, I saw this orchestra, which was the size of the church that I grew up in, and it was really terrifying to me. And I listened to the love that Roger had for God. And it wasn't the words that he was saying, but it was his love for God that really attracted me. And then when I heard the invitation, it wasn't right away, but several months later I came forward, and it was like just took one step, and I was just pulled. I was, next thing I know, I was standing next to Pastor Phil, and I said the prayer with Pastor Phil, and then I was about 2 or 3 weeks later, I quit drinking, and then about 2 or 3 weeks later, I was working on my motorcycle in the garage, and I was going to go down and get a beer just for old sakes. And I drank, it was a Foster's Lager, and I drank it, and I just felt crushed by my heart. For all of a sudden, it was like I didn't know what this was going on. I had to ask God to relieve me of this and to take that pressure off my heart, and He did. And I haven't touched alcohol now for 13 years. And so God saved me. And so I tell these people, God can save me, He can save anybody. Because I always consider myself as the least of anybody, like Paul. You have to.
See, I have to interpret for Dwayne. You know, I don't know if he's flat and I have a big mouth, but he was wanting to know what kind of weather there was like down there in Baltimore.
It was beautiful weather. One night we went out and it was into one of the mountain communities. It was a foggy cold, that bone chilling cold, and it was kind of a drizzly off and on again, and it was about a 20-mile-an-hour wind. Mm. And it was, the last 10 minutes was horrible, but we were just out there and we're showing the films. We had a few people that came by and listened, you know, but the people from El Salvador really had a tough time dealing with it because it never gets below 70 degrees in El Salvador. So it was in the 40s, and it was a little breezy, and the rain kind of came and went.
Yeah, mostly it just stays kind of the same year round, didn't it?
I don't know. I think in the summer they have the rainy season. Yeah. And so that's why we don't ever take big crowds there during the summer, because if it rains, big inches of rain, there's not a thing you can get, Jim.
Brother Lee, you have been a blessing to me for ever since I've been in this church. But you told me you prayed a prayer one time that God would open your mind and teach you and send you a teacher.
Right, right. And I met you the next day at church. That's true. That's true. I, I asked God if He would send me a teacher, someone that can teach me His Word. And we had Tracy Strong was having the class, and we had it. This was when the church was a little small. We had to rent out a place about on the other side of the street, the Little Red Schoolhouse. So we're having services there, and Tracy was teaching that, and I was supposed to be Tracy's co-teacher, or that was the original idea. Until I stood up in front of the class, and I was just terrified by the people that were before me. And so one day there's some guy came into the class and started answering all the questions, and I looked over and he kept pointing different things at Tracy, and it was Jim. And it was right after I prayed that God would bring someone into my life that would teach me His Word. And then Jim, this was about 11 years ago?
Yeah, 11 or 12 years
ago. Yeah. And so then I've known Jim ever since then. And then I met Donna Robinson, and Donna Robinson was instrumental in getting me to go out on evangelism and start proclaiming to people Jesus Christ. And
Donna Robinson was instrumental in getting me to be a teacher here. I wouldn't have ever been a teacher, but then I'm too shy.
Yeah, and then 2 years ago, I went to go see Donna in Kosovo, and it was about 98% Islam there. And that was okay when it was still 6 or 8 months away, but as the time started getting closer, I started really getting worried about dealing with the Islamic faith and all the fanatics and everything else. And about 2 weeks before I went, I was changing my mind about every 5 minutes of whether I was going to go, I wasn't going to go, I was going to go. And then I finally just had to break down and said, God, if You take my life, I give it to You. But I'm going to go, and I'm going to proclaim You. And so that was a moving experience too. But when we got there, it was very safe, and it's Islamic, but they're not radicals. They're just they're very good people. They're very receptive people, but they just don't believe in Christ as their Savior at this point. But those doors can open. Things can turn around that country too.
Are you allowed to witness in Kosovo to regular just to people?
We were briefed on what we could and we couldn't do. We could witness to people on our own, but we couldn't ever say that we're part of the International Mission Board. And we could, because they're trying to establish something, and if the government realizes what we're trying to do, they would close the door on us. And so we had to tell people that we weren't Christians, because the country that overtook Kosovo called themselves Christians. So we had to say that we were followers of Jesus. And so we were briefed on what and what not to say and what we could say. And so we went in there. And it wasn't so much a witnessing campaign. It was more a prayer thing that we were trying to break down the walls, so that Donna and the people from the International Mission Board in the future can get a foothold in that country, because it's all Islamic. And so there's no street preaching or any open-air evangelism, because they'd probably kill you if they did. And when someone over there accepts Christ, they're rejected by their family, they're rejected by everybody. And we had one 2 weeks before we went that had both his legs broken after he professed faith in Christ, because it's no joke over there, because they really, really take that seriously. You don't just go forward and say, yeah, I accept Jesus, I'm a born-again Christian. But when they do, they have to revoke or turn away from everything that they know of Islam and admit that they're Christians to their families. And the families will usually kick them out of home and disown them. So it's a tough road for Donna and everything that she's doing over there. But the time, God will work in that country. And it could be like El Salvador or Guatemala or any of those cities in 10 years from now, if the Lord prevails. You know, we just have to be faithful in going out there and, you know, giving the message that Christ will save them.
Lee, how many trips have you been on?
I've been on 10 international mission trips. I've been 3 times to El Salvador, twice to Honduras, twice to Nicaragua, once to Guatemala, once to Kosovo, and then once to Africa.
Wow.
So, seen a little bit of the country.
Yeah.
I saw a minister on the TV the other day. He says, don't look back to the things you do. He says, but look forward to the things that you're going to do for God.
Yeah.
Because we can be proud for things that we've done or whatnot. So we always have to look forward to serving God in different ways and not look back in our past on things. Because we all come from different backgrounds and we all have different experiences. We all have different faith. We're all in our different level of growth. But we have to continue to press forward to ask Jesus to fulfill us so that we can be more like Christ as we grow in His Word. Because there's 3 things that last forever. God, souls, and his word. And the only thing that you're going to take to heaven with you are other people that you've witnessed to. That's it. Everything else will be left here. Steve Kern was telling us that everything that we have will be burned up. And I was thinking about that later that night in the hotel. And what happens is God will radically take everything from you when you die. And you stand before God with your hands empty. And you have faith in Christ and you're washed by his blood. Is there anything else I can...
Any other questions? Amen.
Thank you so much.
That's our missionary. This is a big church. I've always been in little churches in my life. I'm very shy. And I would have never started teaching in a church if it had not been for Donna Robbins. I was a co-pastor up in Fish Lake Valley in Nevada, in a little Baptist church up there, which my wife went up there with me here. We went and visited this last Sunday, and I helped build that church up there. But I came here, and Hernando and Tony were here, and Joe and Irene, and Levy, and his the Mondragons were here, a few others were here, and I came here, and I was scared to death. I'm not kidding. You walk in here when you've been going to 10 to 15, 20, 30, 40, maybe 100, 200 people most in a church, and you come in here where there's 3 or 4,000 and a great big auditorium is filled up, and it scares you to death. And I just sat there and just shake, you know. And I got on the end seat too, Brother Lee. I mean, I wanted on the end so I could get out real fast just in case I needed to. I don't know what I was running from, but I was ready to leave at any moment. And I came here and I brought my little girl here, and when I was in Nevada most of the time, but I'd come up here, so I'd come here when I'd come, and I began to love this church, and see more and more of the people that I'd been with before that come here and found this refuge, and I would visit in classes, and they got to where they were. Sometimes on Sunday morning, I would teach 4 Sunday school classes, because we had 4 services. And they'd have me going from one class to the other, teaching classes. And I was over there at Tracy's. Tracy Strong was the original teacher of the Air Out because class, I had nothing to do with it. Donna, she said, Jim, come over here with me. So she just ushered me right across the road over there to the little red schoolhouse. And I sat in there, made a few comments in class and things. And pretty soon he says, I want you to come and teach the class. Taught the class. And in the meanwhile, they said, well, you can teach Greek. I said, yeah. So I was teaching Greek. I think I started teaching the Gospel of John. And Lee was in the class, and Michelle was in there, and Hernando and Tony, I think, later on, they came in there too, and Levy was always there, and Joe and Irene, and it just kept building up. And then pretty soon they said, well, Tracy's leaving. We want you to teach Areopagus. So here we are. And the class was about 100 or 150 at one time in Areopagus class. It was a gigantic class. They just had to put us in the biggest classrooms. But then they changed the times and everything. And we got down one time. I just about quit. We were down to about 3 or 4
when
they changed.
Time.
Yeah, for a let they changed us from 9 o'clock to 11:30 or something, and the class almost died. And I mean, and they moved this from every. I've been in every building in this place, but God has been good to us, and there's where we are today. And here's Lee, our missionary that's been on all those trips. And I'm going to tell you something about Lee. Lee is as shy as I am, and I remember all these years I've been trying to encourage Lee to get him up and talk. Did you have any trouble today, brother? Just a tiny bit. I remember when he'd get up here and just be shaking like this, and somebody would ask him to come and speak in their class, and Lee would always say, I want you to come with me, Jim. Come with me. Why do you want me there? Well, I'm going to chicken out at the last minute, and then I'll just say, it's Jim. How many times did you do that, brother?
I don't know.
Several times. We'd get up there, and I'd be teaching. He said, you can just teach the same thing over again. So he'd follow me around, and he would go in his class, and he would get up to teach, and he'd say, Jim. And he'd be gone. Well, we've gone a long ways. and God's been good to us together. Well, we're on page number 31. I hope you enjoyed that. It means so much to me. Brother Lee, you did it. For years, he couldn't do that. But God has built you up, hasn't he? He's given you strength. All right, we're talking about the call of Abraham. The call of Abraham. And his name wasn't Abraham originally, was it? What was it?
Abram.
What does Abram mean? Tell me the Hebrew roots.
Father of many.
Well, what is the Hebrew word for father? Huh? Abba. Abba. So see there, Abba. Abba is father. Okay? And Abram, what does Abram mean? Abram. It means exalted father. High father. That's what it means. High father, exalted father. Now, Abraham, later on he would change his name to Abraham and Elohim. All right, Abraham. Now, what does Abraham or Abraham mean? Huh?
Father of a multitude.
Exalted father of a multitude. Okay, exalted father of a multitude. There you have.
Where's your son? He must have been embarrassed. He didn't have any kids for a long time.
No, he didn't. Just think about that. He didn't have any children. He had faith. That was all. Now, he was how old was he when he had his first child?
99.
Huh?
99.
Well, almost 100 years old. Yeah. But he had, remember who his first child was? His first child was rejected. Huh? All right, who was that?
Ishmael.
All right, Ishmael. All right, Ishmael was rejected of God because he was not a child of faith. Now, I want you to remember something. God told Abraham, and we're going to get into all of this, he told Abraham that I'm going to bless you and you're going to be a father of a multitude like the stars of heaven and like the sands of the sea. His spiritual seed would be like the stars of heaven. His physical seed would be like the sands of the sea. Okay? It's going to happen. And God told him that. Well, his wife was getting older and older, but she had a young handmaid, Hagar. Sarah was getting, and he changed Sarah's name also, didn't he? Sarai to Sarah. Yeah. But he told him, you're going to have many children. Well, the first child he had was a child, and it's also a law of the rejection of the firstborn. In the Bible, write this down right here someplace on the side, the rejection of the firstborn. The law of rejection of the firstborn. Write that down someplace because that's very important. When you're born into this world, you're rejected. Did you know that? When you're born into this world, you are rejected. Because your first birth, you're a child of who? A man. You're a child of a cursed man. All right? A child walking on a cursed earth because of man. Well, when you're born again, then you're accepted. The born the second time. Now, we have Abram. His first child was Ishmael, and Ishmael was rejected. But the promised child was who? Isaac. All right? And he laughed. Isaac means laughter. And he laughed at God. He laughed at God because he didn't think he could do it. It was a miracle. And Isaac's birth was a miracle. And then we have Esau and Jacob, don't we? Who was the firstborn? Who was the firstborn between Esau and Jacob?
Esau
was the firstborn. Did God reject him?
Yes.
That's right. God rejected Esau. He said, Jacob I loved, Esau I what?
Hated.
Why did God hate Esau?
Because he knew that he would...
He knew that he would be worthless. Why was Canaan... We talked about Canaan, remember? We talked about the curse that when Ham did whatever he did to his father, Noah, that Ham was not cursed, but one of his line, one of his descendants was cursed. That son was what? Canaan. Now, did God just curse them because he wanted to? No. He cursed them because of what they would become. All right? Now, you, when you are left to yourself, Brother Lee gave his experience of grace. I love that. His experience of grace. He was just living like the world, just going right along. And it was empty. That world, I don't care how much money you got. I don't care what kind of background you got, what you have in this world. You were lonely and you were empty. Because the world, when you leave the world, you're going to take nothing with you. This is zilch. One guy said, this rich man, how much did he leave behind?
Everything.
You leave everything behind. You don't take anything with you. I don't care if they stuck it in your coffin. If they stuck millions of dollars in your coffin. Marilyn had an uncle. He was a character. He always told everybody that he was going to leave them $100,000 or $10,000 for that one or whatever else. Boy, they were all happy. But he was lying to them. And he said he'd put all the money in the coffin with him and put a bomb in there when they threw the first shovel of dirt on him. He's going to blow up. But you know what? All of us, we have an appointment. Some appointments are closer than others. We talk about age. Abraham was old when God blessed him. Just think about it. When you're 2 years old, every year doubles your life, almost. When you're a year old, one more year, that's doubled your lifetime, okay? And so each year when you're young means a whole lot. When you get to be 10 years old, each year is 1/10 of your life. When you're 20, it's only 1/20. When you're 30, it's only 1/30. When you're 40, it's only 1/40. When you're 50, it's only 1/50. When you're 60, it's only 1/60 of your life. See how fast they go by. When you're 70, it's only 1/70 of your life by lifetime. When you're 80, it's only 1/80. Just think about it. Now that's where Abraham was. He lived a lot. He's seen a lot of things. But he believed the promises of God. But God had never done anything yet. The promise was there, but it wasn't a reality. Now, when you're saved today, we have a promise, don't we? But we really don't have that reality until we leave this life. We don't have it. So we're like Abraham too in a way, aren't we? We hear all the promises of God. But I'm going to tell you something else. When you have an experience of grace in your life changes. You can sin when you're saved. You will sin when you're saved. But when you're saved and you sin, it's going to be a whole lot different than it was when you were lost. Because now you're going to be unhappy when you sin. And when you serve the Lord, there's going to be a joy in your life that you've never known before. It's there. It's real. The covenant. Look down there, number 5. Define covenant. In the New Testament, it is diatheke. Diatheke. And it means a cutting. In Hebrew, it's barith. Barith. And it means a cutting. A cutting. In the old time, they would take and they would kill animals, slay them, and they would lay one half animal on one side, one half animal on the other side of a pallet. And the individuals would walk between those. They would hand each other their shoe. And we're going to find some other weird customs that they did back then. I mean today. How many of you would give your lawyer a shoe when you made a contract? Or how about you're buying a new car, you sign the contract, you give him your shoe? You'd run out of shoes today, wouldn't you? But back then it meant something. Now, a bereath or a diatheke is a covenant, a contract. Just like we make when we buy houses, when we buy cars and everything. But God makes a contract with mankind. Now, number six, it says, list three kinds of covenants. List three kinds of covenants. You get your pencils out here. Just get to writing on this stuff. You need to get this down here now. Number one, A is a conditional covenant. All right? Conditions are attached to the agreement, and God will do something and you will do something. Okay? And we talked about Noah's Ark. Noah and, well, Enoch had preached for 300 years that judgment was coming, that there was going to be a great flood of judgment. Noah preached for 120 years. Now, Noah could have done all the preaching he wanted to do, but if he hadn't built that boat, he'd have been in the rain just like the rest of them in the flood. So, for Noah to have signed the covenant, he had to do something. There are B, non-conditional covenants. No covenants attached. Promise does not depend upon any conditions by his servants or by one's servants. Now, you go down and you sign a contract for a house. What do you sign in your life, Robert? You say you're going to take payments. If you don't make payments on that house, you're not going to get the house. All right? We think of unconditional covenants. Even wills are conditional sometimes, aren't they? Sometimes wills are conditional. A will. All right? Non-conditional covenant. Now, I'm going to tell you this here, and you can write this down. Non-conditional covenant, a type of the non-conditional covenant is a type of what? Today. Salvation. Salvation. What do you do for your salvation? Wally, what have you done for you to get saved?
Just say yes to Jesus.
Let's say yes to Jesus. That's what it was. All right? Now, if you want to live a happy life and a better life, then you follow God. He's not trying to get you to do anything that's bad for you. But that has nothing to do with you getting to heaven. Salvation is an unconditional covenant. Now, if you want to be happy in this life, then you can do the other things. And you should do the other things. Now, let's look at number C. It's what we call a mixed. Some parts are conditional and some parts are non-conditional. Let's think about these things. Let's look at, now on page number 32, are you on page number 32 also? Is it say up there, chapter 11, and start with number 7?
7 is on 31.
7 is on 31? Okay, well then number 7. Okay, now let's list some of the promises made to Abraham, or Abram, by God. Okay, number one, A. Nothing's in there, is it?
Where are you
not filled in? Number A.
Where are we in the Bible?
Well, we're in Genesis, the 22nd chapter. We're in, well, Genesis about 11th chapter, all the way through the 20-something, and in Galatians, and in Hebrews 11. All right. Genesis what?
12:2.
Genesis 12 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And Galatians 3 and Hebrews 11. All right. These are the places. But we're going to discuss this. All right. God said that He's going to make Abraham a great nation. Now let's go to Genesis, the 12th chapter. Who's got Genesis 12? You got Genesis 12?
Yes.
Yes. Go ahead, read that for us.
Okay. Now, the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed.
All right. Boy, that's quite a deal. Now, let's just look at some of that. What he just said here.
Mouth.
It's a mouthful, and I'm going to tell you something. You are part of this blessing. Did you know that?
Yes.
You're involved in this. Yes. You have been grafted into the blessing of Abraham, whether you believe it or not. So this is very important. I had a guy the other day talk to me and from Texas, and he said he'd been listening to the Bible in 8 Ages class. He said, I've been in church all my life in real conservative Baptist churches, and I never heard what you've been preaching, and I thought I'd been preaching real elementary stuff. I try to teach deep stuff and elementary at the same time. I'm trying to give you both worlds here, okay? But let's look at some of the depth of this. Number A, a great nation. He's going to be a great nation. Just think about that. Who is the nation?
Israel.
Israel. Okay, that's it. Israel, it is a miracle of God that Israel exists today. Did you know that?
Does Israel mean struggle or preservation?
Israel is a man of God.
So he means a man of God?
Yeah, man of God. All right, it means man of God. That's what Israel means. All right? It's a miracle that Israel is in existence today because by all means and even by all forces, how many people have tried to destroy the nation of Israel?
Every dynasty that comes along.
Nearly every 100 years, somebody's trying to do away with the nation of Israel. Right now, over there in the Middle East, all the Arab nations said, we're going to destroy Israel. Israel will be a thing of the past. Even, I had a man one time tell me, one of the guys listening to me on the radio, and I preach, and he said, one of these days, he said, Israel's not going to be no good. There'll be no more. It's going to be destroyed. You'll never hear that nation will be nothing. It'll be gone.
Mm.
This man's a Christian.
What?
But he got tied up with what we call replacement theology. Right. That replaces Israel with a church. Israel is Israel. The church is a church. There are two separate entities in the Bible. This promise here that God was going to make him a great nation and it's going to last till eternity in the future. Right here is going to be the epitome of that in the 1,000-year reign. It's yet to come, people. He said, I'll make you a great nation. By the way, that was not a conditional promise. That was a promise. What we call unconditional. It's going to happen. Do you think Israel, let's look at that ungodly buzzard of a nation. They crucified the Messiah. The Messiah came to them, their king came to them, and they rejected their king. In the world, what all they've done in the world, God has blessed them financially, hadn't he? You know what? That's just it. They're going to be blessed financially. That's an unconditional promise, too. Now, the conditional promise was that they would be in the land. If they got into the land, if they obeyed him, they would have the land. If they didn't obey him, he's going to beat them. Kind of like a child of God, too, isn't it?
Yeah,
you get saved, all right. You're always God's child, but you're going to get some stripes on your back. You ever got a stripe on your back?
Yeah, well, they cycle about every 400 years.
Yeah. They got lots of stripes on their back, but they're still God's people. They're still His nation, aren't they? So put unconditional out there. They are. That does not have anything to do with the condition at all. That's the promise. And the blessing. The blessing. I will bless you. Has God blessed you through Abraham today?
Amen.
It was such a blessing for me to sit there and watch Brother Lee get up here and talk about his mission trip down there and that how God had changed his life. That's a blessing. That promise that God made to Abraham came down to Lee. And it's come down to me and it's come down to you. Every one of you are here today are a part, have been grafted into the Abrahamic promise. And it's a blessing. Now, number C. Number B was a blessing. Number C is a great name. A great name. A great name. You know, I think it was National Geographic, did a article on Abraham, the father of many nations. And his name is great. Even in the Islamic world today, they don't think much of Jesus. He's his prophet. But what about Abraham?
They can't deny him.
Well, that's our father. That's our father. He's our father, Abraham. He was our promises came through Abraham, our father. He's the father of
Israel.
Of Islam?
Israel.
Yeah. Well, he's the father of all of Islam, isn't he? Isn't he? He's a literal father of all of Islam today. Islam. The what they used to call the Mohammedans, the Muslims. He is the father of them. They all claim him, even though they went the wrong direction. He is the father of the Jewish people. Isn't he? They don't deny Abraham, do they? No. Is he your father? Is Abraham your father?
Yes.
Is he? He's your father.
Through Jesus?
Through Jesus Christ. Sister Andy.
They denied Jesus, but they don't deny Abraham.
That was an unconditional covenant. Wasn't it? Just remember that. Now, that's an unconditional covenant. No matter how bad they are, God is going to graft them back in, too. He cut them. I'm going to be teaching parables on Sunday afternoon in January, starting in January. We're going to have a class at 4:30 on Sunday afternoon. I'm going to teach about parables. And we're going to get into some of this. All right? All through all of this age, the parables are taught through all of this. Did you know that? If you don't understand this, you're not going to understand the parables. You've got to understand this. And you're not going to understand it if you've got replacement theology either. You just cut yourself off of so much of the Bible. Just throw it away. Be a blessing. Number C, a great name. Number D, he should be a blessing. He would be a he's been a blessing to us, hasn't he? Has he been a blessing to us? Sure. Number E, God blessed them that blessed him. Look at that. God blessed them that blessed him. That's number E. And number F. Remember that. That also stands for failure. God cursed them that cursed him. God cursed them that cursed him. Now, Genesis 12. Let's go back there. Are you still there, Brother Wally?
Yep.
Would you read that to us one more time?
The first three verses?
Yep, first three. Well, read down to about verse 6, I think.
All right. You want to begin at 1?
Yes.
Now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation.
Hold on right there, brother, before we go any further. Just hold your place. Does this remind you of the Christian walk of life? In all reality?
Yeah.
Get you out. Now, once you're a child of God, you've got to separate yourself from the world. Brother Lee said he went home and he started working on his motorcycle and was out there going to drink a beer. Drank the beer and all his blood. Then what he been doing all his life? What's going on now? What's the difference? Get thee away. Get out. I remember Brother Frank. What was his last name? Maryland Franks. Frank Gibson. He got up and he, one of the greatest sermons I ever preached, heard preached in this church. Frank Gibson preached it right over there in the, where the dining room is. He got up there and preached. He said, when I was saved, he said, I went right back to the bars where I was and tried to sit there and drink cocktails and witness to my friends. He said, it didn't work because I wasn't any different than they were. He said, I was just one of the bunch. They didn't listen to me. And then I realized that, man, I'm in the wrong place. I don't belong here anymore. Get thee out to a place I will show you thee. And the Lord said, do not forsake the assembling yourselves as the habit of some is. Get to church. Go and seek the fellowship. Seek the teaching of God's Word. Learn about the promises. Go ahead, Brother Wally.
Okay. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abraham took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance, and they all had gathered, and their souls of that they had gotten in hand Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came.
There was a problem there, wasn't there? We're going to discuss the problem, and I'm going to turn you loose. You better work.
Abraham did like we do sometimes. He took a little piece of the world with him to carry along. What was that little piece of the world?
Lot.
Lot. Lot and his bunch. He took a little bit of the world with him, and that. And when you take a little bit of the world with you, what happens?
It's like yeast, it grows.
He took a problem with him, and he had problems all the time he was with him. And then, and Lot was even a saved man. We wouldn't even know it if the New Testament didn't tell us. But he was a saved man going the wrong direction all the time. Well, thank you for your attention today. And we'll start right there next week where we left off and triple along here. And Brother Bill, are you ready to come up here now? Remember the prayer request that we've had. And continue to remember me in your prayers. Remember Angie Hodge. She really covets your prayers. We're going to try to get that in the big church too. Everywhere.